In Greek mythology, Aurora, the goddess of the dawn, falls in love with Tithonus, who is a mortal youth. And Zeus, the chief god, sees Aurora's love for Tithonus and says, "Ask me anything for your mortal lover and I will grant it." Well, Aurora asks that Tithonus might live forever. Well, Zeus grants her prayer. But Aurora forgot to ask that Tithonus might remain forever young. So although Tithonus lives forever, he grows older and older and older. Thus, the gift becomes a curse. Well, myths like this, unfortunately, influence our take on prayer, even we who are followers of Jesus. We sometimes think God is like Zeus, and so we better be very careful how we ask. You know, God may trick us. We've all heard it said, you know, never pray for patience, right? Why? Because God will make your life miserable making you patient. Before my dad became a Christian, I prayed for him, "Lord, help my dad to know you." And then I'd add, "to know you as Savior, not judge." You see, I was influenced by mythology that God might twist my prayer, send my dad to hell, where he'd sure know him for all eternity, but as judge. See, I didn't trust God to be good in his answers. Well, do you trust God in your prayers? I think we have a huge trust problem, believing that God is good. Well, Jesus teaches us the joy of prayer. I mean, there's real joy in this prayer, that when we pray, we are coming to a Father who is good and who gives good things to those who ask him. Let's look at these words of Jesus from Matthew 7, beginning at verse 7. "Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, it will be opened. Or which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? So whatever you wish that others would do for you, do also for them, for this is the law and the prophets." Well, Jesus assures us here that we are not going to end up as the butt of some cosmic joke. God is not petty. He's not vengeful like the gods of Greek mythology. We don't need to fear that, oh, if we forget one critical detail, we're doomed. Jesus assures us that God gives good things to those who ask. And he communicates that with two promises. Two promises that he states here. And the first promise is that God answers prayer. God answers prayer. Ask and it will be given. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. I mean, there's no such thing as unanswered prayer. The joy of prayer is that God hears and answers. I mean, this certainly is what makes prayer possible. Well, again, to underscore this premise, Jesus repeats himself. You know, he stated, "Ask, seek, knock," but then he repeats himself. "For I tell you, the one who asks receives. The one who knocks, it will be opened. One who seeks finds." I guess this all really begs the question, so are we asking? I fear that I'm asking my smartphone for what I need more than I'm asking God for what I need. Because we are a capable people. Let's admit that. We're doers, we're capable, and if we think with our technologies, if I can just get the right information in hand, then I can solve my problems. James 4:2 says, "You have not because you ask not." And I just wonder, how much do we not have, church, because we do not ask? Yeah, but I asked and I didn't get anything. I didn't get an answer. I mean, what do we say to that? Because there are these unanswered prayers hanging out there in our lives. Well, Jesus, in these words, encourages perseverance. He does so by presenting an array of action verbs, ask, seek, knock, which are better translated, keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking. You suppose a child is playing in the living room with her mom there, present, and the child asks, "Mom, can I have a drink?" Well, mom's right there and can answer, right? But what if mom is not in the room? Well, the child goes seeking her and keeps seeking until mom is found. And if mom is in the bedroom with the door closed, well, the child knocks and keeps knocking until mom answers. Now, what Jesus is trying to say to us here with these action verbs here is not that God's absent, locked in the bedroom, and we have to go hunt him down, beat the door down, pester God before he'll answer us. What Jesus is driving at here is this life of persevering dependency upon God. We are always to be asking, seeking, knocking. Well, why can't it just be asking and receiving? I mean, what's the deal with having to seek and knock and you know, this perseverance in that, the continually coming, seeking, knocking? Why? Well, because our prayers are sometimes hindered or need clarification. Prayers can be hindered by sin. Isaiah 59:2, your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. Or Psalm 66:18, if I had cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. If I'm loving some sin, refusing to deal with it and admit with God that it's wrong, then he's not going to answer my prayers. And so continual seeking and knocking means that I have to open my heart to God. Lord, is there sin in me that's blocking your answers to my prayers? Broken relationships can hinder our prayers. Jesus said earlier in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5:23, he's talking about anger. And he says, if your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to them and then come and offer your gift. Relational brokenness with others blocks our relationship with God himself. Such that God doesn't want our worship. He doesn't accept it until we've dealt with the brokenness out there. Well, part of worship is prayer, is it not? Men, you who are husbands, how's it going with your wife? If there's a blockage in your marriage, that is going to affect your prayers. 1 Peter 3:7, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor, so that your prayers may not be hindered. Sometimes God will have us seek and knock continually in order to wrestle with the broken relationships in our lives. Selfishness can block our prayers as well. James 4:3, you ask and do not receive because you ask with wrong motive, that you may spend it on your pleasures. Lord, make me famous. Lord, make me rich. Lord, bless my business. Give me a good time. Give me the dream job, dream spouse, dream house. But why? Our prayers may be selfish in the heart, and God's just been assigned the part of cosmic Amazon Prime, you know. We put in our order and expect the package on our doorstep the next day so that we can have the life we want. Sometimes it's only after prolonged seeking and knocking in prayer that our desires are purified, and our prayers are clarified according to God's kingdom purposes. Well, sometimes there is that delay in prayer, that even the silence of heaven. But Jesus, again, he's trying to assure us God does answer prayer. Yes, there may be that seeking, knocking place that we find ourselves in. There may be a not yet kind of answer that God gives us. I mean, why did I have to pray 13 years before my dad came to Christ? And my mom prayed 36 years for my dad. Why did we have to pray so long? I don't know. But I know in those years, my prayers sure did mature. I grew to trust God and not fear that if I failed to ask just the right way, well, you know, God was going to stick it to me. I drew nearer to God also in those years, in a more surrendered dependence upon God for the answers. I mean, my dad's salvation was not something I could run out and do. Only God could do. And he did in his time. God answers prayer. Yes, those are sometimes his answers. Not yet, those are his answers at times. But sometimes God also says no. The mother of James and John came to Jesus in secret and did what every good Jewish mother would do. She asked for favor for her two boys. Lord, let one boy sit on your right and the other on your left in your kingdom. And Jesus said, no, you do not know what you're asking. Besides, it's not mine to grant, but it's for those for whom it has been prepared by my Father. God said no to Paul. Paul had asked God to remove a painful thorn, some debilitating physical difficulty in his body. And God said, no, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in your weakness. But even in the no's of God, with these specific prayers we're asking, God is still at work and for our good. Tim Keller tells the story of asking God for over the course of an entire year to cause a girl that he was dating and wanted to marry to stay in the relationship. She wanted out, and he was begging God, don't let her break up with me. Well, she did. But later, Keller met and married his wife, Kathy, with whom he was incredibly happy and still is. Well, Keller, in thinking through that, felt that what God was trying to teach him was this, that God was saying to him that when a child of mine makes a request, I always give that child what he or she would have asked for if they knew everything I know. Well, this calls us to trust God, doesn't it? And to trust that he is good. And here's really the second promise Jesus makes. And this is what gives confidence in prayer. This is what gives incentive to prayer. This is what gives joy in prayer. God is good. Maybe you've been in that place where you are asking, seeking, knocking. You've examined your heart. You've repented of sin, but still no answer. What do? You keep praying. Trusting that God is good. Perhaps you've asked God to purify your prayers so that you're asking in line with his kingdom purposes, but still no answer. What do? You keep praying, trusting that God is good. I mean, Jesus says, how much more will your Father in heaven give good things to those who ask him? That is a statement. That is a promise. And to underscore it, Jesus says, hey, parents, if your kid asks for bread, do you give him rocks to chew on? Well, of course not. If your child says, I'm hungry, can I have some fish tacos? You know, you don't throw a plate of scorpions in front of them and say, dig in. I mean, you parents, you don't let your kids suck on electrical outlets or run free in the streets or play pirates with steak knives, you know. You give kids pacifiers, parks, plastic toys, you know. Why? Because you're good parents, that's why. Not perfect, None of us are, but at least we know what is good and we want good things for our kids. So how much more, Jesus says, will your Father in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Now, is there anybody here who didn't know that? I mean, this is first-time information. Probably not. I mean, this makes perfect sense. God is not sinful like us. He's in heaven. Heaven is full of good stuff. Hell is where the bad stuff is. God is good, and he gives good things from heaven. Duh. So why does Jesus even need to make this point? Because we don't believe him. We still believe the old lie of Greek mythology that God is crafty, stingy, unwilling, and we have to be very careful for what we ask. I mean, ever since the Garden of Eden, the devil has duped humanity with the monster of all lies that God is not good. God holds out on us, and so we can't trust the Lord that he is good. And don't we have mountains of evidence that demonstrate that? I mean, when Christians suffer in the world because of persecution and God lets them suffer, how is that good? When a child gets sick and dies, though we've prayed for healing, how is that good? With all the evil in the world and just the sheer body count, and God allows it, how is that good? Well, that's a fair question. And let's be honest, there are requests that we make, and no matter what angle we turn this thing, we can see nothing wrong with the request, yet God's answer is still this deafening silence or no. How is that good? Well, what do we say to these things? I mean, this is a question that the world is asking as well. Non-Christians are asking. Well, two things we might say, and I think there's great mystery in prayer. There really is. But two things, and the first is that God is God and we are not. God knows more than we do about every circumstance of life, including every circumstance of your life. His ways are higher than our ways, and they are past finding out. And so at the end of the day, it really is a matter of trust. And if that seems too easy an answer, I disagree. Because it all comes down to one thing, the character of God. Do you believe that God is good? Either God is good or not. Either God can be trusted or not. Either God gives good gifts or he does not. Either he will turn all things for the good of those who love him or he will not. We may not understand everything that's going on in our lives and in our world. We may not have the answer, but will we trust the one who does? This is the bottom line in our prayers. What do you believe about the character of God? If you do not believe God is good, then you're not going to pray, or you're certainly not going to persevere in seeking knocking prayer. What do you believe about the character of God? Is he good or not? But second, while we want to focus on what God has not done, consider what he has done. The greatest good, okay, the greatest good, no higher good possible that God has ever done was to give us his son. And on the cross, the Father did not, it would seem, give something good to his own child. He gave Jesus a rock instead of bread. He gave him scorpions, death instead of life. So, is God not good? in causing his own son to suffer and die? Wow, what a strange mystery the cross is. Because God's absolute goodness, was to give Jesus the cup of death so that you and I would never have to drink that cup. If Jesus doesn't drink that cup, if he doesn't die, you and I are sunk. We are lost forever in sin. And God said that would not be good. Well, the one who drank that cup is telling us that our Father in heaven is good and we can trust him. Why on earth would we suppose that after giving us his son, God would then hold out on us, refuse us, trick us, not do us good? He who did not spare his own son but gave him up for us all, how will he not also along with him graciously give us all things? He will. Do you believe this? Will you allow the goodness of God to shape your prayers? If you do, then joy, your joy will abound in prayer. Confidence, joy in the faithfulness of God who is working for the good of his children. Ask, seek, knock, weep, cry out in your prayers. But at the end of the day, fall on this, cling to this. Your Father in heaven will give good things to those who ask. Why? Because he is good. Jesus Christ is the absolute proof of that. So ask and keep on asking. Amen.